Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's an amazing day. Welcome to everybody from all over the world. Your Kingdom Ambassadors Worldwide. This is the Company Prophetic Intercessors session, and we're excited to be here with you this morning. We've been on the subject of the dark psychology of the 10 spies, and we've kind of veered off of there just for a moment just to deal with some things, to give some foundational evidence, to give some foundational support to what the Father wants us to hear again, to share again, because it's very necessary that we understand the nature of things. It's very necessary that we understand also the spirit of a thing. And I think a lot of times we're not paying attention to those details because we just kind of live life like we're separate, like, there's a separation. I think we were talking about this yesterday, particularly we need to identify with that there is no separation between us and the Father. We are in him and he is in us. That is the goal. If we are sons, then he is in us and we are in him, okay? And because we are in him and he is in us, then there is no divide. And when I think about that, I think about how children, if you've ever gone to school or had to walk home, or maybe you've experienced some form of bullying, you know, some kid that was picking on you or whatever, or maybe just somebody just wanted to fight, you know, but that is a form of bullying, because if you're not doing anything to anybody, why would they want to fight you? Just kind of think of that from a spiritual perspective. You're not really doing anything to the adversary per se, but he's constantly desiring to fight, you know. And I remember walking home from school, and I remember those few times when there was this pending fight. And it's funny that the Father brings this up, because it has everything to do. I'm thinking, like, Father, that's why I'm so slow. I'm like, okay, let me walk with you. Let me walk with you. But and the person is kind of following me behind. You know, they kind of, you know, we had this thing about bumping into people, you know, bumping shoulders or running into people, whatever, you know. And you've not done anything, but if they want to fight for some reason and you don't understand why, you know, but it's that confidence that you get. It's that God-confidence that you get, like when your parents empowered you. I remember running into the house. I didn't want to fight. I just didn't want to. I ran into the house, and I was explaining to the adult in the house, you know, that what was going on. And they said to me, if you don't get back out there and beat them up, I'm going to deal with you. Well, that gave me a whole nother level of confidence. It gave me a whole nother identity, as a matter of fact. And I was thinking about that. We were talking about that the other day when we were talking about the decree that went out concerning the Hebrew children when Ruth was the queen, and Haman had created this decree for them to be annihilated, for them to be all, you know, killed. And when Haman died at the hands of his own concept, his own idea that he had put together for Mordecai, and Mordecai came into power, he wrote another decree. The other decree hadn't been rescinded, but in the minds of the people that this new decree was for, and he didn't stop the other people from following the decree. The decree was for the rest of the nations that were in that area to kill the Hebrews. But when the new decree came on the scene, it empowered the Hebrew people so much so that they stood for themselves in that moment. They stood up and they began to annihilate those that were enemies to them. Anybody that was coming for them, they got handled, because the decree that went out empowered them. And it's the same thing that happened, you know, as a child. I was empowered when I heard, you know, you go deal with them or I'm going to deal with you. In other words, they were breaking the fear. Now, some people might say, oh, that's so bold, that's bad, you know, like that shouldn't happen like that. But it was a lesson for me that I hold on to now in my maturity, to understand that there are things that we just must handle. And the Father's saying, listen, I'm not calling you to be afraid of your adversary. This is what kept the Hebrew children out of the promise. They were afraid of pending danger. They were afraid of things that could potentially happen to them at the hands of those that were enemies to them in the land that he had given them. They didn't consider the fact, and they said grasshoppers, right? One of the things I think is so amazing that they didn't consider, okay, if we're grasshoppers, did they just see what happened in Egypt with the locusts, with the grasshoppers, with, you know what I'm saying, with those creatures that devoured the land? It's millions of y'all. You don't understand that if you descend upon this land, you're going to devour the land, likely. You could be, okay, be a grasshopper, that's fine. But see yourself in the proper position. See yourself from the proper perspective, right? See yourself as the devourer, not as one that can be crushed, you know, not as one that can be consumed. And so, you know, the Father wants to deal with our identity. He does, because it's a lot of things that we've been taught from a spiritual perspective that are just so erroneous. While other religions worship in their other gods that they've created are empowered, because we must remember that they are sons as well. They were created in the likeness and image, not sons as in the terms of serve him, but sons in terms of the Father created them, just like he created us. But they're using their authority, their dominion, and their power to deal with other deities. And so, but they do have an express understanding of image, you know, and so this is what they're doing. Even their meditation has to do with them changing their image, you know. It has to do with posture. It has to do with image. It has to do with all of those things. You'd be hard-pressed. I'm going to say this, and I'm stepping out on something right now, but it's something to consider. You'd be hard-pressed to find an overweight witch. I'm talking about one that's operating in witchcraft and knows they're operating. I'm not talking about religious novice witches, you know, people that are just doing dirty, just doing diabolically. I'm talking about people that are sold out to a craft, not people that are in between saying they believe Yah or they love the Father. They're in the kingdom and they're doing wickedness. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about diehard, diabolic servants. You're not going to find it. You know why? Because they understand the value of their health so that they can do the thing that they were called to do. Well, whatever it is they've come into, this calling that they've come into, they know the benefit of being well to accomplish it, if that makes sense. They understand the benefit of being well to accomplish it. And so this is a responsibility that the Father is putting on the sons to understand that, listen, it's not about what you think it's about. It's not about your sword. It's not about your shield. But it is about your confidence. And listen, to be quite honest, if you're not yourself physically, if you're not in the best shape that you've been in or could be in, there's a loss of confidence there. This is what the enemy is after. He knows he can't change the image, so he's going to start dealing with your identity, messing with your identity. That's his whole goal at the end of the age, is to disturb the identity or the understanding of the identity. I was talking to somebody I love the other day, and we were talking about this identity piece and how, you know, this is a thing now where, you know, these groups of people want respect to the point where they want you to call them pronouns. Don't call me a man. Don't call me a woman. It's disrespectful. And first of all, I was born with the understanding of a difference between a male and a female. And one of those characteristics is a facial feature. Now, if you change your whole situation, I wouldn't know one way or another except the Holy Spirit reveal it to me anyway. But if you a man with, you know, wearing a full beat face, you know, it's like putting makeup on a pig to me. I see you still as what you are, not as what you wanted me to call you. So it couldn't be disrespectful. I really am in this place right now, and I was in a place the other day where I was just thinking about that. And one of the things that came to mind, I see you, Prophet, I see you online. One is something other than what you are. Legislation should be in place for people with brain tags. It shouldn't be that people should be sued or brought under kind of fierce discipline or whatever, or get fined or be treated as if they're hateful because they calling a thing as they see it. That doesn't make sense. But these are the things that the adversary is doing in the earth. He wants to mar the identity, but he also wants to punish us for not saying that it is what it ain't. Okay, he understands that we're to call those things that be not as though they were. But see, it's a play on the word. It's a play on scripture to try to intimidate you to say a thing is something that it's not. He's always going to do things that are pertaining to truth. You know, he's a liar, but lie doesn't mean complete non-truth, if that makes sense. lie from his perspective is the truth twisted. We were talking about this the other day, the wicker chair. It's the truth twisted. It is true, but it's twisted. That's why it's a lie, okay? So it's, you know, I got a lot on my mind this morning, and I'm going to open up the line just so you guys can share and say good morning. Say good morning and share. But I got a couple of things written down. We're going to jump into some expression and conversation regarding the things that the Father has shared. But the line is open. You can say good morning and share. What are you hearing this morning? What is triggering you in your spirit this morning to express a thing? Good morning, good morning. Hallelujah. Your line is muted on your end if you're talking to me.
Good morning.
Hey, Prophet, how are you?
Good. I was listening to you talk about us seeing, or them in the Bible seeing themselves as grasshoppers, and then how you did the analogy of the locusts and how they destroy and how powerful they are.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that was good. That was real.
Hallelujah.
And then it came to mind about David slewing Goliath with the rock, which would be considered nothing. You know, a rock. You're going to kill me with a rock? Seriously?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then it came to mind about the 5,000 being fed with the fish and the five loaves of bread, for real? Are you going to feed? You going to try to feed 5,000? For real?
Yeah. With two fish and five loaves, for real?
right.
My God. And this is the concepts that we have to identify with. And I love that you brought up Goliath, because first thing he asked was, am I a dog? Like, what are we, is this some kind of child's game? Is this some kind of imaginary situation? And the thing that we got to understand is that what's really imaginary is that the adversary has control or power over us. That's what's imaginary, you know. So think about it. You're an imager, right? You're born to express an image, okay? And the adversary wants to create imaginary things that alter how you function as an imager, because then you're expressing something different. Fear, unbelief. You're not expressing dominion, authority, you know, the power that was given. You're not expressing that. You're expressing intimidation. You're expressing, you know, insufficiency. You know, you're expressing things that have nothing to do with your image, your original image. So he wants to begin to deal with the identity on that level till he pushes you into a place. Now, it's funny because the image is not the form. The likeness is. That's the identity. So when we think of image, we're thinking of shape, but the image is not the form. The image is how a thing functions. The image is the not the natural shape or form of the thing, but the spiritual form, like how a thing expresses itself. You know, he can't change that, but what he can change is what you express. He can change what, but he can't change the actual who created you. He can't change that. He can't alter that. He can't go back and say, well, you weren't created. You know, I'm going to uncreate you. You don't have the power to do that. So one of the things that's been really a trick of the enemy from the beginning, and a desire of his from the beginning, is to coerce people into a position that causes them to be changed. Now, we're going to talk about something just a little bit heavy. When we deal with salvation, the salvation mechanism is about us being changed. It's about the Son's becoming, right? And so what we are beholding to is what we are becoming, though. So the adversary wants to position us
to come into a posture of becoming his sons. But the only way that we could become his sons is if we lend ourselves to the worship of, or we bow, or whatever. That brings to mind, I want you to go to the story of the three Hebrew boys, right?
Right.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, the king wants them because they're valuable, they're smart, they're handsome. You know, he wants something that is beautiful. He wants it to, now listen to this. As long as it worships him, he's okay with its, you know, outward appearance being what it is. That's why he picked it. But if it's not worshiping him, he wants to alter the way it looks, because he has to mess with the identity. But if it will bow, then it has this position of authority. Now, I want you to notice something, though. All four of those Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, were exalted in that kingdom and never bowed. The adversary wanted them to bow to them. Now, the master, in that place where I said we're going to come from the Hebrew boy whom the adversary, the king thing, wanted them to bow so that he could exalt them, right? When we think about that, we go all the way to the master who's called into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And what's the enemy want him to do? Bow, and then I'll give you. Here's the thing. Sons are going to have, because that's what was established from the beginning. He said, we're going to make them in our likeness and image and let them have dominion. Mm-hmm. So what the enemy wants to deal with is the identity, because he knows if he can change the identity of the thing, he can alter how you function from your dominion. He can alter how you wield your power. He can alter how you do what you do, because you are going to do it regardless. No matter who you serve, you're going to do what you were born to do. That's a reality check. You're doing what you were born to do, whether you're serving Yah or not, because you're functioning in a place of authority. So when you are doing the thing that you want to do versus what the Father is saying do, you've chosen to use your authority to do it your own way, to have it your own way, or to follow another identity or follow another instructor. But as long as we live, there are going to be instructions and directions. It's all about who we're following, you know? It's all about who we're following. So his objective, the adversary's objective, is to make you bow. The adversary's objective is to instill enough fear, terror, whatever it is, inadequacy, whatever you're feeling. He wants you to feel that to the place of your bowing, because he knows that if he can get you to bow and he can get you to worship, then he doesn't have to worry about your warfare. Man, that was something else. If he can get you to bow, if he can get you to worship him through your, how you're functioning, through what you're doing completely opposite of what the Father is calling you into, you're doing something in a whole other direction. If he can get you to bow, if he can get you to worship him, then he can no longer concern himself with your warfare. So when we step on the field with Goliath, right, when we look at the giants, the Hebrews dealing with the promised land, but we're going to go backwards just for a minute. I mean, you know, we're going to step on the field. We're going to go forward for a minute and step on the field with the giant. It's the same concept. It's always been the same concept. Now, it wasn't talked about as much. I want you to notice that it wasn't, that this place of authority wasn't talked about as much before now. However, there was an issue of giants before now, okay? There was an issue before now. But when you look at Noah, in Noah's day, the Bible says, as it was in Noah's day, so shall it be when the Son of Man appears. And we'll deal with that Son of Man piece, because that's really important as well, because you're looking for someone to come instead of becoming as he was. You know, there's an appearance, there's a rise, and there's a shine because the light comes. And so when the glory of Yah rises upon the sun, then we're able to become the city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hidden. But that's a whole another conversation. I'm not saying that there's not a coming, but the second coming is not as we think it is. There is a coming, though, and there is a fullness of coming when that new Jerusalem comes out of the heavens and comes down to the earth. All of that's a fact. There's a merging of, you know, of these places, and then there is a repositioning of kingdom. You know, the kingdom will be positioned here. You know, it'll be a reestablishment here. I'm not going to go into that because that's a rabbit hole, and I feel myself going there, and I'm not going to do it this morning. We're going to put a pin in that, okay? But what I want to get to is the fact that this terror that the enemy is bringing is an attempt to change your identity so that he can rule. You are the ruler. You've been called to this place. You've been born for this purpose, to manage, to rule, to reign. You're an inheritor of the entire earth, not an inheritor of the people, right? But the ends of the earth, yes. As for the nations, for an inheritance, yeah, that's a fact. And the ends of the earth for possession. So when we're inheriting people, it's not an inheritance as in slaves necessarily. It's an inheritance as in us being able to persuade men into the kingdom position because of how we're living. So there's a place that the Father wants to bring us into. We started talking about wealth just a little bit the other day. We dealt with Proverbs 10:22, the blessings of Yah make rich minus the sorrow, right? Psalms 112. Verse 3, I've heard this verse quoted over and over the years. People use verses just for triggers and different things. Wealth and riches shall be in your house. But why would it mention wealth and riches? See, there's a concept that is far from us. We're dealing with it from outside of it instead of inside of it. Well, if I'm inside of the house and rich already, I just have to come from the mindset of a child into my adulthood, because the child isn't given the inheritance. And this is why so many people that are desirous to serve the Father are without, because they have to come into the level of maturity that allows them to have the capacity to carry what they're going to carry for the kingdom. They understand that it's not for themselves, right? But it's for him. And so when we have that understanding, then we can acquisition the lands, the territories. We can go ahead and take. Think about this. The children of Israel could overthrow Egypt, take their goods, right? Just on a word, go get their goods, go get their stuff, we're leaving. Okay, in that moment, they were empowered. They felt themselves, so they went and did that. But now they're getting ready to take over a land, and they've dispossessed city after city. You know, that Og, the king of Bashan, there were 60 cities that were walled cities. We're not even dealing with the unwalled territory and that kind of thing. There were 60-plus cities that they dispossessed, that they took. They acquisitioned this real estate through their fight, through their warfare with this enemy upon the word of the Father, through their leader, okay? They have done this over and over again on their way to a promise. When they get to the promise, they should now be well-versed in what they need to do. They should be well-versed. He didn't even tell them how they were going to take the land. Did you ever notice that, prophet? Nowhere in that scripture does it detail. Now, we see that Abraham says, you know, arm yourself. You know, we're going to go fight. But how many times were they armed for a fight that they didn't fight? You know, the Father never said, y'all gonna march around the walls or y'all gonna make a sound. He didn't give them all the details. He said, go in. He said, go up and take the land, right? All these other nations before them had heard of their exploits. So could it be, and we understand it, what was in the land was not just giants. So let's just start there. What was in the land was not just giants. We also know that Jericho, the city of Jericho, when they did follow the instructions of the Father, not only did these fortified walls fall flat. See, there's a difference in them caving in, falling out. They fell flat. But there was also a warfare inside of those walls, the adversaries against one another to annihilate. This is why Israel didn't have to fight, because they turned on each other because of their fear, their terror. They began to not identify their brother anymore. It was an every man for himself kind of situation, which could be potentially what it would have looked like in Canaan or Canaan, which y'all call Canaan, Canaan, right? That the moment you walk into this land in your million force, in your army, you know, stance, in your, you know, in your formation, nobody breaking rank. What does that look like? Man, that seems like it would have been a really powerful story, a really powerful story to identify with. Now, they did fight. They fought some on some occasion, but there were some wars they didn't have to fight. And we'll go back tomorrow and look at Caleb and Joshua taking the younger group into the land and see what that looked like. You know, we'll see what that looked like, because I think you'll be interested to see what that looked like. But sometimes warfare is a result of where we come from. And that in and of itself is something else. Sometimes the warfare that we're having is a result of forefathers. Not necessarily something that you created. It's something sometimes that was passed down, you know. Something that you are having to deal with as a result of something that wasn't dealt with. And this is why we said the other week, I believe it was before we got on the line, that the adversaries you deal with instead of run from, you know, your children won't have to deal with them. When they do, they'll know what to do with them, right? This is why these stories were written, so we would have an understanding and an education on what we should do with our enemies, so we wouldn't be horrified or terrified of enemies. The line is open, Prosper. What you thinking over there?
When you were talking about going up to fight and them not getting the instruction. Well, that's how you operate things, but usually you don't give you the full instruction.
Absolutely.
Just go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just go.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. It's about step by step. I believe that when we follow instructions, that there is more that he expresses. So I'll give an example. We've heard the term "show me your glory" before, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that term came from one of his sons way before the master, right?
You going in and out again.
I heard that. Can you hear me now? We know that term came way before the master, right? So there's Moses, who is desiring to see the Father's glory, right? And the Bible mm-hmm. declares that he's hidden in the cleft of a rock. He's hidden, and the Father shows him the hinder parts. Well, you know, people have been so gross over the years. We think that the Father was showing his butt, you know, showing his backside. No, he was showing something that was to come. He was showing the future to him. He was showing, I'm not going to show you what I'm doing right now, but I am going to express to you the end of this thing. I want to show you where this thing is headed, if that makes
That's
sense.
Good. That's good.
Okay. So
That's
now
good.
We
know, I mean, because I feel like when we have visions, a lot of mm-hmm. times it's the end of what?
Yes.
It's where you're going. It's not where you are. It's not the process, the in-between. It's the end of the thing. He shows the end of the thing to you.
Yes.
That's your vision.
Like
what you just said.
That's
you don't see all the steps to get there.
No, the steps only come through obedience. The steps only come through obedience. But he is the one. Now let's go fast forward. Let's go into the future where he was shown in the New Testament in the time of the Transfiguration. When we see the master go up to the mountain, he's with three of his disciples. He takes, understand, it will always be people that are closest to you that you can allow in your space when you are in that place of presence, but not everybody can go. But he's on this mountain. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration because his whole body is transformed. But who shows up on the mountain? Moses and Elijah. So could it be that when Moshe was seeing the end of a thing, he showed up in it? He literally showed up in it and saw it face to face. He understood it intimately. The issue is not our understanding, because people will fight you too. Now, I'm going to be rich. It's nothing wrong with that. The Father wants you to be. His issue is when you're making that your God, when that's the only reason you're doing everything you're doing, the only reason you're moving. It's all about that for you. It's the mammon piece. It's not the money. It's the mammon. It's the mentality that this is your God. It's the mentality to put that above everything else. So because I put that above everything else, I'll do what I feel like I need to do to get that. Does that make sense? So now I'm worshiping. Now I'm serving. No, but if you're going to be rich, there's going to be work that's put in. Part of that work is going to be obedience, but there's going to be some work, but not the work as in how people say, because they're self-made millionaires. So how they move and how we move is two different things. You understand? I follow specific instructions, got in this place that I really didn't ever think I would be in, because I felt like I was being settled. I felt like I was being established in a place, got uprooted from that place to be in the hotel, right? But in the hotel, there was a different perspective because I knew that the hotel wasn't permanent, but there were some things that I would have to do. But there were things that I had already put in place just out of obedience that I did not have to necessarily do those things in order to do what or come to the place that I came to. I'd already done those things based on obedience. But it was in the hotel that I realized something. I was able to see something. And what's funny is, Prophet, when I saw the thing that I saw, it was a day after, but I also, prior to that day, had my granddaughter for several days. So that was, something that was thrown into the pot in that moment. And a lot of my grandkids had come over there and spend nights with me, at least three of them to be exact, had come over. But the thing was, I needed to be given attention to something, and I was missing it, because I was engaged in other relationships that were necessary, quote unquote, at the moment. But the moment the distractions of those relationships were gone in that moment, because when I got my grandkids, I can't really focus on work like I would normally focus on work. So things slipped through the cracks. When I sat down in front of my computer, I saw this message. And I'm like, let me check this out. Well, it was there the day before, so I wasn't too late, thankfully. But when I responded, I got a response back. Then late, a week later, 2 weeks later, I go and do a search and I see all of this stuff. And I'm like, wow, this stuff has always been there. It's funny. Maturity puts you in a different position. When you have to mature, now people say, I had to grow up fast. It's the same thing with going into the hotel. You had to grow up fast because you're not thinking that this is permanent. Well, for me, it was an issue because I was spending money. But for the Father, he was like, who's paying the bill? I'm like, you are. He's like, we're tripping. You know? Don't trip. Don't. Just relax. You know? Relax. Not relax as in you don't have to do anything, but stop. Don't stress over a thing that's not your business. Your business is obedience. Your business is to do the thing that I'm calling you to do. That's your business.
Now, I was wondering, had you not went there, would you have seen what you saw?
That is a good question. That's a good question.
That's what just crossed my mind. Had you not made the step and moved where you,
where you were supposed to be at, would you have missed seeing what you needed to see?
That's a question. Yeah, that's a question. But position is all about vision, right? Position is about vision because you got to have the right vision to get in position. And the vision helps the vision, the position also helps you see better from where you're standing, you know? Yeah. It's like your fight or flight, right? When something's coming, when there's an issue, your vision is helping you position yourself out of the way. But out of the way also helps you contemplate what's the next move.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I had to run because I wasn't sure what I was dealing with. But now that I'm in this position, I can see from here or have a different perspective. I need to know what the next move is. Yeah. So understand that when we asked the Father to see a thing, Moshe was going through the process, and he was frustrated. He was kind of like, you know what, show me what you're doing because I'm not quite sure. Understand, before he asked, the Father hadn't showed him the end of it. He was just walking through the process. We get the end. Abraham didn't physically have a GPS, but he was also on his way somewhere. It's all about being able to hear so that we can add here to what the Father is saying. If you can't hear, you don't know what you're hearing. You don't know what you're listening for. We talked about the cloud yesterday, right? The Father's speaking through those things that are insignificant. He's not making a lot of noise. Think about Elijah on the mountain. It wasn't in the wind. It wasn't in the storm. It wasn't in the fire, right? It was in a still small voice. There's not a boisterousness about him, you know? He's moving us. And it seems insignificant. But in that insignificant appearance, that's when we need to be asking, what should we be seeing? How should I be seeing? What am I looking for? What is my expectation? Because if we have the right expectation, then it doesn't matter what's standing in front of us. Think about David, since we brought him up. Think about David. He don't care what's in front of him. They're running. They're fearful. They're cowering. He said, don't have a heart attack. I got it. This little boy, don't have a heart attack. I got it. Don't lose heart.
And then even out of all the sons, the smallest one, for real,
yes.
You know, yes. The one that no one thought would be the one.
The one that nobody thought would be anything, not only was he the giant slayer, but he had been anointed king just before that. So, you know, I'm thinking about his brother's conversations. Why you come down here? You always trying to put yourself in something. There was some animosity going on there. Understand, the oil poured for him. It didn't pour for the people that it looked like it should have went on. Oh, my God. You know, it didn't go on the people that it looked like it should have went on. So here's, it didn't go on the social media icon. It went on real people because here's the thing. And the reason I brought that up is because you can be anything you want to be on social media. Your life could be a living hell outside of social media. But if only what you post is what people know or believe about you, if it's not true, they would never know it. Right? They would never know. It looks like something, but that don't necessarily mean that's what it is. So he's taken all of that out of the equation. This is not social media. This is real life. It didn't look like David should have been the one to fight a giant. It doesn't look like a rock should take a giant out. It doesn't look like Gideon should be the one that's turning over altars and destroying things. Because he's the least of his family and his tribe, the least of all the tribes. It doesn't look like the three Hebrew boys could stand against the king and say, we're not bowing. It doesn't look like they should be able to do that. Because the enemy wants to give the impression that he's in charge.
And every as we talk, and I keep thinking about the scripture that says that he will do exceedingly abundantly above all.
Exceeding and abundantly. That's according to the power that's working in you.
Yes.
So if your power is cut off, you need to pay your bill.
Get some oil.
Come on now. Get you some oil. Because you don't
need foolish. Don't be foolish.
Don't be a foolish virgin. Get you some oil and let it burn. Let it burn. Because that fire is what keeps the adversary away anyway. You know, people think, oh, when it's fire, he coming. No, animals are afraid of fire. So we don't treat the adversary as if he is an animal. He's afraid of fire. And if you oily, he can't catch you no way like that. You keep slipping. He trying to put his hands on you, keep sliding out. You keep sliding. You're like, oh, man, what is this? I was thinking about this yesterday, talking to my grandbabies about the white walls and the new place and, you know, how oil is naturally. I was actually thinking about this before. I was talking to them about it yesterday. But do you know that you naturally have oil that's in your skin? Have you ever, you know, like if you touch your computer screen, if you touch things that you could see that, you would notice that there's a natural oil that flows from you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a part of how you were created. That oil would flow through you and from you. You got to stay oily. Not some people that's dry. And in that dryness, they have conditions, right? They have these illnesses or ailments or conditions because they don't have the oil. So I want you to think of this natural thing in terms of spiritual things. The condition is a result of the lack of oil in the skin. But if your oil balance is right, then you're good. Now, there could be a rancidity of oil or an overproduction. I would consider the rancidity position that of overproduction. Even overproduction, your acne on your face. Your sebaceous glands are producing more than what they should be, so that's still a non-functioning. It's still functioning the way it was created to function. So you know what I think about when I think about that overwhelming thing, you know, releasing more oil than you should. I think about people that spend more time thinking that spiritual things are just in prayer and they're not doing anything out. They're not doing anything to actualize what they prayed about. So there are dynamics to things, you know. There are dynamics to things. So when I get done praying, after I've received of the Father, whatever downloads, whatever I need, the daily bread, then I've got to get up and I've got to break bread and I've got to pass it out. I've got to feed folks. You know, the environments have to be changed because I'm in it, because I've broken bread. I've already received, so now I've got to give as I've received. Making sense?
Yes.
I love that Goliath said today that my dog, I had to go back to that.
He's going in and out.
Okay.
Let him get it.
I love that. I'm going to see if I close the window. 1 second. Close the window. Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
Okay. I said I love that. Goliath says to David, am I a dog? Because he's looking at what he has in his hand and thinking in his mind, that's not a threat to me.
Right.
You're not a threat, and that's not a threat.
Right.
Are you threatening me with rocks and spades? Really? Do you know who I am? I am Goliath of Gath. You know, and it's like the Father is calling us into this place in this season, and instead of us doing as David did, oh, you know, I killed the lion and the bear, you know, remembering, having a total recall, of how the Father already used us, of how he already caused us to come and overthrow our adversaries, the adversaries of our life. We're looking at the size of this thing like, I'm going to go back to that dream that I had, that corporate and both Eric and corporations are completely different. And I said, I'm changing.
He's breaking up with you.
Okay. He said he was changing. He was changing. The way that the corporate map looked would not be the way that it looked at the end of the thing. It was not going to be his look because his sons were going to rise and we're going to take our authority and we're going to do what we're supposed to do. But we can't consider, as he's calling us into promise, the giants. Can you hear me better now?
Yes. We can't consider the giants. Besides the fact that we were sent, and that they're under, that they're not gonna overthrow us, that they're not in charge of us, that they're not, you know, gonna have the dominion in that land because it was given to us. So when the Father hands a thing over, then whatever powers existed, they don't exist. They don't. They're not able to function on that level anymore. Just think about the king. Think about the king, Nebuchadnezzar. He said, all of this, I've gotten all of this myself. That's the one thing he was trying to deal with the children of Israel about, so that they wouldn't say, we've gotten this wealth at our own hands. No, you did not, because you, if you got that at your own hands, you would have been gone from Egypt. Right? Nebuchadnezzar says, all of this kingdom is mine. I created it. Father's like, okay, this fool right here. Clearly, he's lost it. Yeah. The watchers say they agree that he's going to become an animal. Now, this is funny. That's a whole nother rabbit hole, too. I'm not going to jump down that rabbit hole today, but the watchers agree, okay, that these are the divine watchers, not the diabolic watchers that came to Mount Hermon and decided to sleep with the women and have children that would be giants, the Nephilim. We're dealing with the divine watchers. They decided, you know what? He need to be an animal or something because he didn't lost his mind. Mm-hmm. And he literally becomes. Do you understand? This place of becoming is so real. You know? It's so real. It's so real to me that I believe that the way that they depicted, I don't know if you saw 300. That's one of my favorite movies. Matter of fact, I need to go watch that. But I believe with all my heart that the person that depicted that transformation for the weak son, that's real. You understand? That, okay, I come into this place. I'm fearful. I come into this place. My father dies. I got somebody overlording me. So guess what? The moment I get this inclination of power, that something is available to me, I'm going to walk into that power and I'm going to become something more than what I've ever been because I'm going to reign. I'm going to rule. I mean, think about this. If the master could send a man down to the waters to be healed from leprosy, you don't think that there are other powers that could actually utilize water or whatever else for transformation? Mm-hmm. There are water spirits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I come into league with something on a spiritual level, I'm going to become what I'm coming into league with because the whole purpose of the becoming is to alter my identity. So the image doesn't function the way that it should, the way that it was created to. Yeah, I'm not going down no rabbit holes. I feel myself being pulled. But just understand, you know, that it's all about the worship. This is why the children of Israel had to come out of Egypt, right? What did Moshe say to Pharaoh, to the great house? He said, the Father said, let my people go so that they can come and worship me.
So do we realize that under oppression and different levels of pressing, it's very difficult to worship as we should? So the Father wants to bring us out of that captive place so that we can worship. And we talked about it already. If you think about all the kings, just think about a couple of them that come to mind. You'll recognize their desire was to make the people worship. Nebuchadnezzar built the whole statue.
He said, when you hear the music, dance to it.
This is how you're going to do your dance. You're going to bow. When you hear the music of the lyre, the sackbut, the dulcimer, all these different things, bow down. The master's in the wilderness. If you bow down, I'll give you all of this, all the kingdom. What was one of the things that the Father kept saying to the Hebrew children? Don't intermarry with these people that are pagans. Don't intermarry with their, don't marry their daughters. Don't give your sons to their daughters because they're going to turn your heart. What happened to Solomon? He intermarried. Now, his purpose for intermarrying may have been a strategy to have access to those dominions or those territories. Think about that. Something that people don't think about often. I think he may have had an issue in his flesh. That's a possibility because his father did. That's something to consider. But it's also something to consider that you can be world-wise and not divine-wise. Wisdom is both earthly and divine. You can have earthly wisdom and not operate in your divine wisdom. Divine wisdom said to Solomon, do not intermarry. Do not marry them. They're going to change you. They're going to soften you. They're going to turn your heart away from your God. Worldly wisdom says marry into all of the cultures because that'll give you access and dominion over the territory. That's something to think about, isn't it? The reasons why we do what we do. Things that make you go, what do we think the outcome?
But our thoughts, his thoughts and our thoughts are different.
Until we get the mind of Yah, yes. Until we tap into
Right. We're doing it our way. We're doing it our way, not the way.
Hello. And we know how Frank Sinatra went. He did it his way, but we know he's not here either. Okay. I did it my way. Okay. Yeah, that's the mentality. You know, and we'll make excuses and even use verses.
And I thought about the scripture where it says there's a way that seemeth right.
Seemeth right unto a man. Come on.
Right.
But the end of that thing that seems right. Oh, come on now. It's destruction. Yeah, absolutely. People will use verses. They'll use scripture. They'll use all kind of stuff to justify why they're moving the way they're moving, why they're doing what they're doing. The Father's saying, I ain't hearing that. Have you ever looked at your children when they came with an excuse like, what? You know that look? What?
Yeah, like for real. Is that what you think? Tell me.
Are you kidding
me? So fly.
The Father feel the same way? But it's people, when you convince yourself, it's no unconvincing you, and you convince yourself, right? You're doing the right thing. I'm thinking about when this woman called me. We're in prayer every day like we are now, Prophet. We fast and we doing all kind of stuff. She called me to me. I'm gonna go into a time of fasting and prayer. I'm being called into this. Listen, I don't doubt what you're being called into personally. But how does that drag you away from the corporate body? Well, and I'll be back in January. She never showed back up. But here's the thing. She went into hiding because during the fast, you broke the consecration, which is, the Father will restore you. That's not an issue. But now I know that your life is not lining up with some things, because if you tell me that you are engaged in this tongue match with a man who's somebody else's husband,
Yeah, something you ain't following. It's some you didn't step out of line somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? And now instead of dealing with it, you've run off like Adam and covered yourself. Instead of staying connected so you can be restored, you've run off. Ain't no telling what that look like right now. No telling what those outcomes are. You know, it takes me back to this place where the Father has to keep reminding me, people like to be abused. You know, if it's an abusive leader, they like that. But a leader to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and minister to your children, 4 a.m., that sound good at first, but when 4 a.m. impacts you, right? People find me. They don't understand when the Father is doing a thing for them on their behalf. Now, they may say, oh, I never go anywhere. This is good. You know, like, I just know that the Father sent me. And the same people that say Hosanna in one breath will say crucify him in the next. It's a perspective. It's a mentality. It's a dealing with the identity so that the image is not proper. Think about this. When Moshe is fighting in this particular on this particular front, if he did not have an Aaron and a Hur to hold up his arm, what would that have looked like? What would that have looked like? Leaders are not long rangers. They've attempted to become that or look like that because they want to be the people's God. But people, the leaders that are not trying to be your God, it's a relational thing. It's a relationship. We need each other. You know what I'm saying? You need us as much as we need you. Because there's work to do. And the work doesn't get done without us being a unit, being together and doing a thing. That's why the adversary is constantly disrupting how a thing flows, how a thing goes, because he's like that. Okay, they're getting too close. And people quit before they get breakthrough all the time. I'm encouraging you this morning, don't quit. You two steps away from, I was saying this the other day. I'm one signing of a paper. I'm one deal away from where the Father wants to take me. I got to think about that every day. You know? Now, there's already some things pending for me, right? There's already doors that are open. I'm just not prepared to go through them yet. I'm not prepared. And maybe the Father wanted to take me this way before he took me that way, right? And maybe he'll cause me to see it differently, and maybe I'll just grab something and put my name on it, right, to make that a thing. You know, he's been showing me all kind of different angles of things. But there are doors that are already open for us, Santina. Doors that are already established. You understand? That doesn't mean that today is the day to walk through them, though. So we know that that's on the table, right? But now the Father is saying, listen, I'm trying to open up your mind to see some other things. So if I just focused on that, I wouldn't have been able to hear him say this, because I would have been like, oh, but I need to do that first. He'll take you away so you can get the information, identify with things, and all of that. But sometimes there is a way, another way that he desires to take you. But these are things that were on the table for me long before I got to that place. So now it's just about sorting things out and being in that place of maturity to walk through the doors, because the doors are there. We're not looking for the doors to happen. The doors are already exist. There's a necessity for us to stand at a door, you know, to get to the door. They're not building the door right now. Ain't no doors being built. The doors are already there. We're not dealing from the outside in. We're dealing from the inside out. And when we're dealing right from that place of maturity, then there's a manifestation that's unstoppable. He's dealing with our identity. So for the next 18 days that we come together, we're looking for that uncommon victory. We're looking to that place of expectation. Here's the other thing that I woke up with this morning, that I'm a turning loose prophet. Who said everything was supposed to be easy? That's a thing that we have. You know, when something required of us, why do we feel like, oh, my God, why I got to?
Why would we put on a full armor of God for an easy battle?
Come on now. Well, here's the thing. Even if we don't fight, the armor heavy.
I'm like, you know, listen, some stuff
even,
sounds
even
so,
you, never,
you know, when you think
you,
about it, oh, we're soldiers in the army of God, but
we don't
that,
fight.
You know, it's easy. It's easy. I mean, everything going to be easy. It doesn't even make logical sense to prepare for you know.
Listen, like, even if you don't,
you're not gonna battle no kind of way. It's gonna be easy.
Listen, even if you never wield a sword, never have to use your shield, the armor is heavy, and you probably sweating.
I mean, even if it's a mental warfare, which we know it's mental.
All
a
of
lot
that.
Of it is mental. That's not an easy fight either.
It's not easy.
That's not easy dealing with your mental
no.
thoughts and bringing
but
them into captivity, like the
but,
word says.
You got to be intentional, though, and a lot of people are not intentional about that place. So because we're not intentional, we don't get the victory in those places. And we don't come into
the
maturity.
I think that's the point right there, intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Be intentional about, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. We've got to be. Wow. He's so amazing. I got plenty of
money. And do those things that you know to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we
that's
know stuff
to do.
We ain't even doing it. We ain't even doing the stuff we know to do. We're trying to figure out all the other things, and we ain't even doing the stuff that we already know that we should be doing. What do we know that we should be doing?
What do we
and
know?
And do those steps. Take those steps.
What do you know?
What's the rest? Did you take the first step?
What do you know? What do you see? All of those things. It's the what, you know? Listen, I love him, and I appreciate the pulling and the pushing and the stretching. And I was just thinking about it yesterday. I'm like, here we go, this stretching again. And I'm not only am I stretching from a spiritual perspective, but I'd be a stretch naturally. He got me in this stretching thing, like, where it's all about the stretch. It's all about that. I got in my mind to do a thing, you know, before my birthday. Well, it's going to happen in 2 weeks anyway, because I'm dedicated. But at the end of the day, I'm determined about some stuff, you know, things I've been away from for a while that I need to get back to, you know.
It's funny you said it's your birthday, because I put time on my birthday, too.
There you go. So we know we got things to do. We got to be involved. Let's lead us to that result. We're going to lead us to that result. Listen, we appreciate you being here this morning. We're thankful for the connection, for you being able to hear. We're going to be back on, 8 a.m. tomorrow. We'll share some more. I'm looking forward to going back into the conversation and even expressing more of this thing about the psychology, the dark psychology of the 10 spies. I think maybe the Father is also making me hold off because of some more things that he wants me to pin before I finish having that conversation. So he took me back to it. So y'all got an inkling of some conversations, but maybe you don't want me to divulge all of that. Just want me to lay the groundwork right now so that you understand where we are. So I'm gonna contemplate that today in real life. I'm gonna contemplate that because he has purposes for what he does. He's very intentional about his movement, very intentional, and that's how we should be. That's how we should be. Father, we thank you today for this word. We thank you for daily bread. We thank you, Father, for feeding us. We're not looking for any other food than what you're giving us. You know, the Israelites were unsatisfied. They were dissatisfied with what you fed them, but it was the thing that they needed to be able to continue to move. And so we thank you now for the right food and the right movement and the right momentum and the right mindset in this hour. And we love you forever. Listen, the body is not a me thing. It's a we thing. Peace to your house. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Love you much, Prophet.
Love you. Peace. Thank you.